WGCH News Center time is 7:51. Second Thursday of each month means State Representative Stephen Meskers of Greenwich. Representative Meskers, good morning. Welcome. How are you?
Good morning, Tony. Doing well. Enjoying the fact that we're getting finally a little warmer moving into spring.
All right, good. And a question is, with the session shut down and all, how are you serving your constituents during this time?
Well, Tony, it's been nonstop going to the end of the session, which was, I believe, last week. So the session is officially over, and I'm expecting that we'll have a call back into session to approve some measures at the end of June. So currently what I've been doing is handling a plethora of calls from private individuals on the unemployment insurance, the PPP program, etc. So I've been pretty busy every day. The phone starts at around 8:30 every morning and takes me through till about 6 or 7 at night.
It's interesting. We were speaking with State Rep. Florin, Libby Florin, last week, and I mean, this is kind of the meat and potatoes of what you do, though, as a state rep, right? Is this constituent service?
Absolutely, absolutely. It's been, but obviously, the demand is off the charts simply because there's so many concerns related to COVID and the state's opening moving forward, and all the concerns of both the private individuals and all of the small business owners. Has been a lot of work to be done, to be honest with you.
And what's been their general take on things? Are they ready to get going? Are they more cautious? Are they kind of all over the place or what?
Well, it's been a mixed bag. Obviously, all the small business owners are concerned about getting open and getting their businesses flowing. And the workers at this point are concerned about all the protective measures and what's going to go on there. I think from the last 2 weeks or the last week or so since the announcement of the first openings in May, I'm finding a lot of concerns from, believe it or not, from the hair salons who are anxious to start business and all of the employees who are concerned about the safety measures and whether or not we should be opening there.
Interesting, interesting. What about the restaurants with the outdoor dining and so forth?
Well, I've been working with Fred. We basically have calls 3 times a week. We were meeting daily up until this past week, and now we speak on a Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And the restaurant owners are looking for zoning variances, et cetera, and expansion maybe of the liquor permits so they can do a more robust service out on the streets in Greenwich. And I know that there's a special task force in town that they're looking at that to try to improve, amplify the amount of service they can provide.
Have you just seen so much creativity from businesses to just try to stay alive? Some of the with the deliveries and the roads, street side service, pickup, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, there's been a lot of active thought process and a lot of active solutions that coming both from our local town government, from the state, and from obviously the private sector. Everybody wants to try to make sure they can make it through this process. And part of that is going to be, as we open up, close monitoring and figuring out what's going on with the virus and what kind of impact a reduction in social distancing will have on us.
And as far as the other residents that may not be business owners, but maybe may have lost their jobs in your district, you've had a lot of that?
Yeah, I've had a fair amount of calls from people who have been working through the unemployment system. The last I checked on the website 2 days ago, we had processed something on the order of 380 or 390,000 applications for unemployment assistance statewide. And now I'm handling the more individual problems with people who might have had more creative work documentation and contract workers. And so the state has managed to get all of the compliance done on the Pandemic Unemployment Assistance, or the ACT, EUA, which is a federal program that covers the 1099 filers. So those employees who have 1099s have now basically begun the process. They've applied to Connecticut, and they if they are unemployed under 1099s, they will process through the state, receive a statement that says they're ineligible for state benefits, and then once they receive that certification, they can proceed to apply on the federal program. Okay. So that's under the PUA Act. So there's a two-step process there that's a little more painful and a little more lengthy. So there's some anxiety there, but we're moving ahead on that as well.
Now, getting back to a special session, what form will that take? Any idea of when that's going to be?
Yeah, they're still trying to figure out how they can get us together safely. I mean, you're dealing with 151 state reps and 36 senators. So, you know, I have some concern because it's basically a fishnet catch of all, like a gill net. You're basically catching all the representatives from all over the state and assembling them in one location. So I know they're speaking with health experts because the question is going to be how can we assemble safely and how can we proceed to vote. So there'll be questions about whether we keep the voting open for a day or two, whether we go in small groups, whether we meet outside the Capitol physically. And I think those issues will be defined as we move along the end of this month into the beginning of June and watch what the reduction in social distancing has to do with infection rates. So there are plans afoot, but they haven't solidified as to how actually we meet. And we will need, to meet physically. I don't think we have an option. So the question is, do we do that at the end of June or do we do it slightly later? And I know the leadership is studying that.
Okay. Well, I was going to say, because you're a member of the RTM, and that body is about as large as the legislature. You can't do it on Zoom, though, I guess, like you have with the RTM, right?
No, I don't have the ability legally yet to do something that way. I don't know if it requires a statute or a change constitutionally. I assume that, you know, the advent of the telephone and the telegraph gave us the opportunity, you know, 50 or 100 years ago to do remote voting, and I assume that that was an idea that wasn't contemplated or accepted at that point. So I don't know what the strictures are that prevent us from doing it today, but I know there are strictures that don't allow us to either dial in and phone call a vote and or to vote remotely. So I don't think they've figured out the process quite yet.
Right. All right. State Representative Stephen Meskers, thanks as always for joining us, and we'll talk again next month. Thank you.
All right. Thank you much. Take care, Tony.
Bye. State Representative Stephen Meskers, and next Thursday,